wow, 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 wow. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Father. Just lift your hands and just enjoy God's presence for a second. Yes, enjoy His presence. Say, those who are weary and heavy laden, come. Come unto me and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. There's rest here this morning. There's peace here this morning. There's family here this morning. Oh yes. Enjoy His presence. Just soak it in. We bless your Lord. We enjoy your presence. We enjoy your presence this morning. We bask in your presence. Lebrondos Tamaya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. And Lord, this morning as your word comes, let it do something that only your word can do. Let it break down walls. Let it build back lives. Let it transform destinies and take us from where we are to where we ought to be. By your power, by your spirit. For your word is a light unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so, Lord, this morning, let your word bring light. Let it be a lamp to every dark area of our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Put your hands together for Jesus. Are you with me? Please be seated. Glory to God this morning. Hallelujah. On behalf of our lead pastors, Pastor Blaise and Pastor Esther, I want to welcome you specially to service this morning. Our lead pastor is currently out of town preaching at a conference. I mean, let's go ahead and mute the aux, please. And so we pray that God's word will come forth boldly out of his mouth with signs following. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A few other things just to mention as we go forward in the service this morning. Our first timers in the house. Amen. If this is your very first time worshiping with us in any of our services, I want you to just wave your hands. We want to welcome you specially. We have a brother behind there. Any other first timers? First time in church this morning. All right, brother. Thank you for, one person right over there. That's our brother. Thank you for being here this morning, brother. I met you earlier and had a little chat with you. Look forward to getting to know you a little bit more after service. This is Living Word International Church. And here we make one commitment, and that is to make your life count. Listen, there are over 8 billion people in the world, but God knows your name. Like he knows your name. There's no two same fingerprints because God created you uniquely and has a plan and a purpose for your life. And we as a church family want to come together and stand with you to make sure you fulfill destiny. And that's why we say that your life counts. No matter where you've been through, no matter where you have been, your life counts. And God wants to use you to touch lives. And so if you're looking for a home church, you're new to the area, I would love for you to be part of our family here. And love for you to come back and visit us. I personally would love that. But let me ask the whole family, because I'm not alone here, right? So let me ask the family. Family, would you like our brother to come back and visit us and be part of the family? All right. Oh, we have one more person, our sister. Let's put our hands together for dear sister as well. There you go. Thank you for being with us, sister. Your life counts. I'm sure our ushers has given you a package. Inside of that package, please put your hands inside of it. Everything in there is for you. All right. So you can put your hands inside of it. There is a little slip of paper, little form for you to put down your information. We'd love to stay in touch with you, pray with you. So just go ahead, get the form, fill it out, and please give it to one of our ushers by the end of the service, or you can give it to me also. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. Few announcements. Of course, right after service, we have a baby shower. Were you blessed by that ministration?
Yeah!
Amazing. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Now, if she can sing like that when she's pregnant, what happens when the baby... So I'm putting you on the spot. You're going to be doing a lot of solos for me, okay? All right. So I love solos. I love good soloists, and she is a good soloist. Amen. Glory to Jesus. I think you owe me one song too, so yes. Hallelujah. So after service, we're going to celebrate with your sister, Esther. Many of you don't know her story. You don't know, you see people sometimes, you don't know their story. If you don't know her story, meet her after service and let her give you a little bit of a snapshot of where she's coming from. Yes, her family. Yes. And I won't say it so you don't think I'm trying to make you feel something for her. No. No. You don't need to feel, she's not asking for your pity. Yes. She's blessed. But when you see people sing and give praise to God, you don't know where they are coming from. Yeah. You know, so it's very important that we come together as a family. I think it's very pertinent even in this sermon today, this morning, because my title, if you're writing down, is The Church as a Family. Yes. The Church as a Family. Yes, we are a family. You know, when I was growing up, we had many beautiful songs about the church. I need somebody on the keys here so that you can flow with me this morning, okay? Somebody on the keys. Just be around. Just be on there. The song that we used to sing, Mom, you can probably help me. There's something like, we are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. What? We are children. Do you know that song? Of this. I put you in the spot. We are family. We are one. Oh, our sister knows the song. You know that song, sister? There you go. Yeah. This is how we flow here, sister. What's your name, by the way? Yes. Mikey. Wow. That's a beautiful name. We love it, Mikey. Well, sister Mikey, come back and be family with us, okay? We are a beautiful church, and we love the diversity. So come. All right. So we want to sing that song again. You want to sing it again? We are heirs of the Father. Oh yes, please. I have this mic with you. Oh, my mom is singing this morning.
We are children of the kingdom.
We are family.
We are family. We are one.
Wow. Put your hands together for yourself. Put your hands together for my mom too. She led the song. Wow. We are heirs of the Father, joint heirs with the Son, children of His kingdom. We are family this morning. We are one. I'll keep my announcements for the end of the sermon. I'm going to go straight into it because there's a flow already. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, before we get started, I want to just touch on some of the notes that Pastor has been talking about. He's been talking about the church. And he started speaking about the church as a community. Amen. And he had a beautiful analogy of the California what?
Red
groove tree, yes. That it grows so high and has a porous, inside of it is porous roots. But how does it stand? It stands because the trees around it the roots are interconnected. And so that's why, media team, if you have a picture of it, you can put it up on the screen. the California what?
Redwood.
Red what?
Redwood
tree, yes. I don't know why I wrote red groove tree. I mean, like I'm always grooving or something. Like what's going on here? I'm always flowing. The California red groove tree. Huh? Wood. Sorry, red. Where's my pen? Let me correct my notes so I don't skip saying. Red wood tree. Was so good. Yeah. Wood tree. Yeah, so it goes. How many feet does it go? How many? Pastor, give us the stats. How many of you wrote that? 300 feet. This tree goes 300 feet. It can grow up to 300 feet. And what you can see, it looks very, on the outside, it doesn't look like one of those magnificent trees, right? But inside of it, it's not so strong. And so the roots are interconnected for it to stand that high. And that's an analogy of the church, all right? We need each other to stand. Yes, that's why you come to church. It's a family. Yes, we are all interconnected. Amen. When you cry, we cry. When you are rejoicing, we rejoice. Yeah. Very important. Just imagine if every milestone of your life, you had nobody to celebrate it with. Your graduation, nobody showed up. You got married, nobody showed up. You had a child, nobody showed up. It's your birthday, nobody knows. How you feel? Yeah, that's why you have a church family. You know, yeah. That's how you have a church family to, you know, do life together. Amen?
Amen.
And Pastor said the strength of the church is in the connectedness of its members. Just like the California redwood tree. The strength of the church is in the connectedness of its members. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are connected. We are connected. Yes. And he began to talk about some characteristics of the Acts church. Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. So we'll start with Acts chapter 4. We'll start from verse 30. Acts chapter 4. We'll start from verse 32. Was it 32 I gave immediate team just for some context? Go ahead and put it back on the screen. So now the multitude of those who believed were of what? One heart. That's talking about connectedness. And one soul. How can a multitude be of one heart and one soul? That is because they are connected. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, one heart, connectedness. So, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Do you want to see great grace?
Yes.
Do you want to have grace in your life?
Yes.
One of the ways is to stay connected to a church. The Bible says that great grace was upon them all. It not said great grace was upon the apostles. No. Was upon who? All. Everybody. Yes. When you're connected and when you are staying together in unity, great grace is released. Yes. Great grace is released. Great grace. Do you want grace for your career success? Do you want grace for family life? Do you want grace for financial exploits? Then stay connected to a community of believers. Go back to verse 32, please. So now the multitude of those who believed were of what? One heart and one soul. Miracles happen when people become of one heart and one soul. Miracles. Things that you never thought. Guess what? Well, we look at ourselves. For instance, look at the attendance in this church this morning. And you say, oh, they're just, if you give a quick count, there were just this number of people in the room this morning. But the truth of the matter is that if this number of people are connected as one heart and one soul, we can change the world forever. Yes. We can change the world. You don't need multitude to change the world. It just takes one man with people that stand and believe in what he believes in. Yeah. What's the name of the, who was the most wanted man in the 20th century? The 20th century, eh? Osama bin Laden, yes, that's his name. Osama bin Laden. Do you know that Osama bin Laden and his people were of so much one heart that they have influenced the whole world till tomorrow? Do you know why you take off your shoes and your belt when you're going through? You're going to enter a plane as dignified as you are. You put on your makeup. You're looking sassy, dizzling. And you just go to the airport and they tell you, hey, take off your belt. Take off your shoe. Take off your jacket. Why? Because of Osama bin Laden. Yes. Yeah. One man. One person. He had a vision. He had a goal. Yeah. And guess what? All those people that entered into those planes to bomb the buildings in America, the World Trade Center, they were of one heart and of one soul. Isn't it a pity that sometimes for us to illustrate people's commitment, we have to use people negative? Because the people who are positive were busy fighting each other. This one said, this one did not say, they looked at me this way, they did not say hi to me. You have not embraced the vision of the house. I've been in this church for many, many years. You know, I don't hear rumors. I don't hear rumors. I don't hear what people say. Someone said, these people said, did not say no. I don't know. I'm too busy. The vision is right in front of me. You say, the people said, did not say. I mean, it's impossible. I don't hear those. And if I hear them, I'm like, don't bring it close to me. I'm not interested in what people are saying or not saying. I'm interested in what God has called me to do here at Living Word International Church. Yeah. That's what I'm interested in. So, they were one heart and one soul. There is nothing that we cannot achieve as a church if we have one heart and one soul. Yes. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. You know, there are some people that will go to churches because they know that those churches will be able to help them. Yes. You know, our sister was sharing a little bit of her testimony this morning before she ministered, Sister Esther, and the love that she has received from this family. Amen. Listen, let me just tell you, if you're in this church, I'm not saying this because I'm here. Even if I'm not here in the future, let me tell you something, okay? You have one of the best pastors in the world here. I'm telling you, if you, the day you're angry and you leave, it doesn't change that the pastor is good. I mean, it doesn't change anything. He's a good man. Yes. Yes. He's a shepherd. Yes. You have one of the best. You can go anywhere. Take my word to the bank. Yes. You have one of the best pastors in Tulsa. So if you're looking for a family, right? If you're looking for someone who will care for you, you're looking for someone who really will not get jealous of your success. Yes. Yeah. That will celebrate you. Yeah. Then you have a pastor here. So you can be angry. When you finish angry, just know that you have a good pastor here. Stay. It's okay. Families have fight. See, do you in your family, haven't you ever had a family fight? People have small fights in the family, in church, and then they run away. You know, just because someone was angry with you in the church, you now run away. You don't understand that you are a family. You're part of a family. Okay, you've been having a fight with your brother and sister. Do you tell your sister, I'm no longer your sister. I'm going away. I'm no longer your sister. No, you don't do that. And even if you do that, there's something inside of you that still wants that connection. Yeah. Yes, the church as a family. We are all connected. Yes. We are all what? Connected. There's something inside of you that wants that connection. Now, the multitude of those who believed were what? One heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Amen. Yes, we'll have in a family, not everybody sees things the same way. That's right. Yeah. No, in fact, as I'm preaching now, some people will say, why is he preaching like this? Why is he preaching like this? Like, can't he do a different way? Can't he? Like, I prefer when brothers and pastor, this one preaches. I like the other one. That's okay. Just be in the family. You will get all the flavors. All the flavors, yes. Yes. Yeah. Because one man's meat is another man's poison. Just because you don't appreciate how someone delivers something doesn't mean that another audience will not appreciate it.
That's right.
Yeah. And I've never started preaching. So someone might hear this and think this is the best message I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. But that's the truth. Why do you think people break up from relationships and then another person sees the person and says, that is you. You're the person I've been waiting for. MJ, you're the person I've been waiting for. Yes. But someone else broke your heart too. But then another person now came and said, you're the man I've been waiting for. Yes. Some people leave where they're supposed to be and go to somewhere else, and they're thinking, oh, because they have left a church or a community, that makes the community less. No. People come and they will see the value of what we got going on here. Yes. Yes. Amen. MJ. Hallelujah. We are created to be connected. Write that down. We are created to be connected. Yes. Verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Let me break it to you this morning, church. It is possible for every one of us to walk in great grace. And great grace was not upon some of them. All. That means it's possible for every one of us to be high flyers in whatever area God has called us to be. I was talking to a colleague this week. I said, there's space at the top for everyone. Two stars don't fight each other for them to shine. At night, go up. When you look at the stars, you never see a star fighting the other star. There's room at the top for everyone. Great grace was upon them all. Your success doesn't make me jealous. Someone's success should not make you jealous. In a family, you should be celebrating each other and pushing each other to the top, because that way, great grace will be released to you. Yes. Great grace was upon them all. It is possible. It is possible for every one of us to be working in grace. Not just grace. Great grace.
Great,
yes.
Grace.
Yes. Most times people say, oh, I need grace. No. Walk in unity. Embrace a family of believers. Great grace will come upon you. See, those people never prayed for great grace. Don't joke with grace. When grace comes upon you, you become anointed for what God has called you to do. It's like a supernatural enablement. Amen? A supernatural enablement. And great grace was upon them all. The benefits of the church as a family. Yes. Great grace was upon them all. The church as a family. I read a recent article about how people in Japan are so busy that older people can now rent a family. Rent a family. Listen closely. In Japan, you can rent a family. Elderly Japanese who are isolated from their children by the frantic pace of modern life can rent a family for lunch and for a few hours. Just call Nippon Kokase Honbu and ask for a son, daughter, grandchild, whatever relative you want. And that type will show up at your door and greet you as if they haven't seen you in years. Of course, the service isn't cheap. 3 hours with your family costs you 1,000 plus transportation. $1,000 plus transportation. American dollars. Satsuki Ohiwa founded the business in 1990 When as a businesswoman, she was too busy to visit her mother, company staff visited her mother instead, and Ohiwa deemed it a success. Ohiwa's observation of her customers is not surprising. She said, What is common about our clients is that they are thirsty for human love. They are thirsty for human love. They are thirsty for connectedness. To rent a family. Today we have, you know, families and we have churches that are built as families, and sometimes we do not take advantage of what we have. The writer continued to say, I wonder when someone in the U.S. will start offering that. But you can save yourself the cost of renting someone who acts like they love you. You can be part of a local church family. You don't need to rent a church family. You can be part of a local church family. We don't pay. Membership here is free. Yes. If you go to the golf club, they say they want you to become a member. No, they're looking for your money. Yes. Membership is free here. Even tithing, we don't look at you and say, did you tithe this month? You did not tithe. Okay, and you sit in the back. You sit in the front. No. There's no preferential treatment for if you tithe here or you don't tithe here. No. Or you give big offering, you don't give big offering. No. No. Now, if you give $1 million check, we'll honor you, of course. But what I'm saying is, you're not going to become a god unto us or something. Amen? So, but honor is due where honor is. So, but what am I saying? You don't have to rent a church family, brothers and sisters. You don't. You have one here. You have a church family here that loves you. You have a pastor here that believes in you. You have a vision here that you can commit yourself to. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So in Japan, since 1990, so it's not new. I know Sister JL will be a missionary to Japan in the future. She actually was in Japan. Where's Sister JL? Come forward, Sister JL. She's always in the back. You saw, we don't even know who Sister JL is. Very faithful member of our church. Come forward, JL. Let them see you. Come forward. Come forward. Yeah. She doesn't like being on the spot. It's okay. Yeah. Put your hands together for her. Always in the media room. So, where's the mic? Where's the extra mic we have here? Yeah, let's talk about Japan a little bit. Right? This is not scripted, so
not at all.
All right. So tell me, you went to Japan. When was that?
So I went in December of 2023, okay. From December 20th to the 27th.
Okay. Now tell us a little bit about your love for Japan, or you know what you feel God is stirring in your heart. Yeah.
Well, for a long time, I've just had kind of a genuine interest in the country and the different cultural aspects. It's just so different from what I grew up with and what I was raised in that I just found that so fascinating. And I feel like in high school especially, I start to get really serious about it, looking for opportunities to study abroad and to find out why I have such a passion and why that passion has never left me for all these years. And fortunately, despite COVID and many other setbacks, I was able to go for the first time on that missions trip.
Wow.
And it connected me with so many people and connections that I hope to be a part of after college. I plan to move there after college, and there's an amazing church community that I was plugged in with. Wow. On that trip. And so it was really God. It really was God.
Wow. So. Amazing. Now, tell me the truth. Doesn't she look like a mixed Japanese and probably some what do you guys think? Yes, I mean, to me she does. It's okay, but if you don't think so, I think so. I think she has some. Have you done ancestry DNA?
I have not. I pray I'm at least 1%, but I am mixed.
You're mixed.
Half black, half white.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. Now I know you plan to move to Japan. What were some of the things that you noticed about the culture when you got there?
Actually, I've been doing a lot recently since I've come to ORU more research on the church history in Japan, and I really recommend looking into it because it's a very unique case, and it's a place where missionaries, there's not many of them, and most people don't know that there needs to be missionaries there. Many people just assume there's freedom of religion, so you can practice Christianity freely. However, it's just not common. It is less than 1%, 1 to 1.5% Christians in the entire nation. And many of the nation is, I wouldn't say religious, but more tradition-based. So they tend to be more atheistic in mindset, which is actually a good thing because they're much more open to the gospel than people realize. The main issue missionaries and pastors have is people just don't know. There are some people who have never heard the gospel, like something... Sometimes here in the West, we realize it's so simple, but so effective. They just never heard Jesus. They've never seen a Bible. It's just not common in their culture. And so hopefully we'll see what the Lord does with this. I'm not sure, but I see an opportunity and a place that needs Christ very desperately. And as you hear, they have such issues and hard-hitting points. You know, they may be a first world country, but that doesn't mean that they're lacking in something and they're lacking in Christ. So continue to pray for Japan and pray for their salvation.
Wow. Put your hands together. From Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, if I didn't do that, you would not believe that from this church, a missionary will now be going to Japan. Yes. She's going to be going to Japan and she'll go and live there. She wants to live there. Yes. Yeah. So what we say, well, Living Word International Church. It's not a slogan. It's not a fancy word. We have people around the world. Amen. So stretch forth your hands to JL. Let's pray that God will use her mightily in the nation of Japan as she goes in the future. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your daughter and for all she does here at Living Word International Church as a grooming ground for what you have ahead of her. And so even right now, Lord, deepen the desire she has for the people of Japan. Let her light shine upon entering to that country. Connect her to the right people. And let it be said at the end of her life that there was a JL that came to Japan and touched a culture, changed a people. In the name of Jesus, let the anointing to break through cultural barriers be released upon her. In the name of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet right now, receive a fresh anointing. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for JL. I'm proud of you, JL. That was good. That was good. Spontaneous. Spontaneous. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't just point out the issues. We also have people who are going to fix them. Amen. Glory to God. You are created for connection. Yes. Listen, as extreme as we think Japan's rent-a-family industry is, we must be reminded that the COVID-19 pandemic and its influence on the church as a family has far-reaching effects. In early March 2020, as the pandemic raged through the continents of the world, nearly a quarter of countries used force to prevent religious gatherings during the pandemic. Other government restrictions and social hostilities related to religion remain fairly stable. And what has been the effect of the pandemic on the church? For one, we can see that people are now preferring to have worship online than in person. The comfort of the internet and all that it has to offer has made us forget the blessedness of flesh touching flesh. For God so loved the world, He didn't send a download packet. He didn't send a social media platform. He sent a man to touch flesh, flesh touching flesh, to die for us, to live among us. That's what God did. And so God understood the importance of family. Let's go deeper this morning. We are created for connection. Let's take a look at a recent excerpt from the Crisis magazine, which is a Catholic-based magazine and has a lot of general content about the church. Now, almost a quarter of children in the United States live with only one parent, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Now, that's the largest, highest rate in the world. This is simply heart-wrenching, as many will say. Single-parent homes are connected with higher rates of substance abuse, criminality, suicide, and poverty. If outcome is indicative of oppression, as many claim, then the most oppressive start is single parenthood. Despite this data being well known, almost half of all babies born in the U.S. were born to unmarried women in 2019. More than ever, the church is needed to be a voice of reason, good clarity, and constancy in bridging the divide that we see in families and absentee parents in the homes. Jesus is not just our Savior. He is our brother. The joy we find in spiritual family transcends the mundane experiences we share with the ordinary yet extraordinary members of our local church family. How many of you believe that we have extraordinary members in this church? Yes, yes, yes. This profound happiness is not of this world. It is a gift from Christ, our eternal big brother. He is tirelessly working to mold each and every one of us in the family to reflect his image. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans 8 verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Change la vision. 1, 2, go. Read. Among what? Many brothers and sisters. The church as a family. Listen, it's not a cliche when we say, bless you, brother, bless you, sister. No, it's not. It's not a nice thing. It's actually a scriptural thing. Christ came to die so that we can become brothers and sisters to God, to Christ and God our Father. I mean, think about it. Why should we call God Father? Where you don't have a brother, a sister? I mean, if it's not a family, why are you calling him father? Do you just walk up to somebody and just call him father and daddy? No, you don't. That person has to have some kind of relationship with you. Oh, yes. Am I wrong? No. Do you just walk up to any male figure and just say daddy, father? If you walk up to a woman and just say mommy, you're wondering what's wrong with this one. Someone say we'll collect. So, when we say brothers and sisters in the church, it's not a nice thing to say. It's not a culturally correct lingo. Yes, it's actually a very scriptural thing. That's why Christ came to die, that we may become brothers and sisters. Yes, yeah. That we may be. He is the firstborn. Christ is what? The firstborn among many brothers and sisters. My culture, my mom just said, Akman, that's the firstborn son.
In your culture, what do you call the firstborn son? Just yell it out to me quickly. Firstborn son, what do you call in Igbo, Cameroonian? Okpara. Okpara is Igbo. Any Delta? Where are you from? Blessing. Imo. Oh, you're Igbo too, so okay. First, someone said first Pekin. First Pekin is like saying first son. It's like it's Pidgin English. For those of you who are new in the house, it's Pidgin English, which is very popular in Africa. It's like broken English, right? So first Pekin. Any other person? Any languages? Ethiopia? Huh? Brinyenye. Hey, I like that. Brinyenye. Oh, Brinyenye. Oh, that's French. Oh. Oui. Premier. I will continue my lessons after service. How about that? That one passed me, Sha. Wow. Any other cultures in the house? Any other person want to tell me what? How do you say firstborn in your... Huh? Lene. Well, what language is that? It's French. Lene. Wow. Huh? Come, Frank. Come on, help me preach. Frank, come. Move, come, quick. You say what? I say, help me. How do you say, because we have a lot of French speakers in this church, so I need to make sure that we say it right. How do you say firstborn in French?
Aîné. Aîné.
Aîné. Ah, I like that. That's easy. Why didn't you guys give me the hard one before? Eh?
Premier-né.
Hey, I'll practice after service. Eh? Put your hand together for Frank. Say what? I say yeah. Hallelujah. Wow. We're having fun here this morning. For those of you who are watching online, sorry you missed out. It's so much fun to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So just to establish that, first of all, Christ died so that we can be part of a family. He is the firstborn among many brethren. And that's why Paul will write in his epistles to the church, you write, brothers, dear, and brethren, I write to you, brothers and sisters. It's because he understood the how the gospel translated into a family of believers. Amen. So the grand design of redemption has this very purpose at its heart: to create a vast spiritual family where each member day by day grows to resemble their eldest brother, Jesus Christ. I'll read it again. The grand design of redemption has this very purpose at its heart: to create a vast spiritual family where each member day by day grows to resemble their eldest brother, Jesus Christ. This is our source of joy. Because of this, we rejoice and we can call Abba Father. Yeah. Amen. Now, let's talk about some practical things, some practical ingredients. I call them ingredients for a successful church family. Amen. You ready? Ingredients for a successful church family. Number one. Love for one another. Love for one another. That's the number one ingredient for a successful church family. Is what? Love for one another. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Let's read together. It's on the screen. 1, 2, go.
Let brotherly love continue.
Change
La version for me, please. Let's see what. Yes, it says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Hey! Keep on what? Loving each other as brothers and sisters. Yeah. Keep on loving. Keep on loving. Keep on loving. And that's also a pointer to show that it's an active process where you have to actually put effort into it. Keep on loving. Because, hey, have you ever had your sister or your brother do something that is unlovable? That makes them feel, make you feel like, how can I even love this person? I'm just angry. But you still have to keep on loving. Yes. How about the people who are married in the house? Has your spouse ever done anything to you that makes you feel like, man, this person is very hard to love? Or those of you who are in a relationship, this is very hard to love. Eh? many things, yes. In fact, I heard a beautiful quote, and I think that's probably so true about marriage, beyond the flowers and everything. It says that marriage is made up of two forgivers. Yes. If you're not ready to forgive, don't marry, please. Yes, because for you to stay married, you have to be forgiving. You have to be a forgiving person. Yes, forgiveness has to be like your last name. Yes, advanced forgiveness. Mommy is saying, Mommy, how many years now? 35 years of marriage. Yes. Amazing. 35 years of forgiving. How many times have you had to forgive, Mommy? Every time, you just keep forgiving. Yes. Yeah. I mean, bro, Walter, how many times do you have to forgive your wife? Many times. You can't even count. Yes, you can. You can't count it. You can't count it. Oh yes. Don't say like no, no. You that you're saying ah. How many times the person that loves you have to forgive you? What's ah? Don't say ah. Yes, you have to forgive over and over and over again if you're gonna stay married. Yeah. If you're going to stay in a community of belief, you have to forgive. Yes. Forgive and forget. Hey, that one, that forget part. Hey, you're preaching good, brother. Amazing. Forgive and forget. Love for one another. Forgive. Oh, yes. I'm looking at this. I'm scanning the room. There are people that have done things to you in this church that they were angry with me. Yes. And I knew that they were angry with me. Yes, and I have to go and tell them, hey, I'm sorry I hurt you. Yes. Is it all right? Pastor Victor, oh no, no. If I hurt you and you tell me I hurt you, I will apologize to you. I mean, it doesn't take anything. My parents raised me very well to apologize. Yes, you apologize and you tell what you are sorry for. You don't just say, I'm sorry. You don't say, I apologize. No. No, that's vague. You say, I'm sorry for saying this to you. Yes. I'm sorry for saying this to you and doing this to you. Yes. I'm sorry for A, B, C. Don't just say, I apologize. I apologize. For what? What are you apologizing for? Yes. I apologize. I mean, there is no couple that has stayed together. Are you even Jesus, when he had his disciples, there were things that the disciples did that offended him. Jesus himself, he was in flesh with them. And there are times when Jesus did things that he said, do not be offended. He will not be offended in me. So Jesus did things that would have that offended people. John the Baptist, what are you talking about here? John the Baptist was offended in Jesus. Yes. Yes. There is nothing blessed to see. Please find that scripture for me, media team. Where John the Baptist, where God, Jesus told John the Baptist, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Something like that. Jesus. How many of you love Jesus? You just love him. I love Jesus. Jesus can do something that offends you. Do you know that? God can say something to you that offends you and you don't like. Oh, has God ever said something that you don't like before?
Yes.
Okay, that means, in fact, the Bible says the son that he loves, he prunes. What, you know what prunes mean? He cuts. He cuts the excesses and he hurts. Yes, sometimes God will tell you no. When God tells you no, he's not happy.
Can you imagine, guys? I wanted to do this thing. Testimony. And God just told me no. Is it possible? No, you're not. You won't be happy. Yes. So even in the family of God, Jesus himself can do something to you that you don't like. Yes. But it's for your own good. Yes. He will keep you from trouble. Yeah. Where's that my scripture, please? Blessed is he who is not offended. Someone should find it for me, please. Matthew what? In Matthew 11:6. Oh, that's a biblical scholar right there. Mark. Send for me, John Mark. He's good for the ministry. Matthew 11 verse 6. My immediate team. Let's put that up on the screen. Let's read it. Yeah. Jesus. Go to the New King James Version. Yes. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Someone said, "Child Jesus," in case you didn't hear that online. Say, "Child Jesus." Yeah. And blessed is he who is not what? Offended in me. Yes. He's not offended in me. Yeah. You want to read another version? Go ahead, please. Huh? Luke 7:23. Let's see what that version says. Luke 7:23 too. I think it's another account of the same. Luke 7:23, media team. Say, and blessed is he. So this is so important that the two accounts, they pick the same thing. In fact, okay, think about this with me, okay? Jesus walks into the temple, walks to the church and starts flogging people. If your pastor shows up to church and carries cane and starts flogging people, it will reach CBS News. Breaking news. Tulsa pastor flogs members. Just imagine if Jesus was a modern day preacher. Well, that thing would have hit the news. Yes. Man walks into the synagogue and flogs people. Yeah, that's a headline. Everybody with their cameras, police with videos, they'll be taking. In fact, it would have been on TikTok. Yes, it would have gone viral. Yeah. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. So love for one another. You have to know that when you say love for one another, sometimes when we say love, we're so vague. Yeah, love includes a lot of forgiveness. Amen? So let brotherly love continue. Hebrews 13 verse 1. John chapter 13 verse 33 to 35. Very quickly, I'm going to move fast. Now John 13:33 to 35. John 13:33. Little children, I shall be with you what? A little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, the final words of a man are very important. See what Jesus says to them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You check on each other. You forgive one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you have love, what? For one another. See, that's from the Bible. Love for one another. Yeah. I'm teaching straight from the Bible. Everything I'm saying, straight from the Bible. But one point is, love for what? One another. Yes. If you have love for one another, this is how the people will know that we're a family as a church. Number two. Number two. Ingredients for a successful church family is love your pastor. Yeah. Your pastor. Uh-huh. Love your pastor. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3. So number two ingredient for a successful church is love for one another. Then you love your pastor. He said, I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Listen, have you been fed at Living Word International Church by our pastor? Have you been fed? Good food.
good food. We will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Yes. Let's look at the KJV version. For one, I'm asking for KJV. I think that's what it says. Yes. It says, and I will give you, let's read together, one to go. And I will give you pastors according to my heart. We shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Yes. I'll give you pastors who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Love your pastor. It's very important. For a church to be successful, there has to be love for the pastor. Yeah, you can't be in a place where people are speaking ill of your pastor, and yet you join in, or you don't even say anything. Yeah. You have to be someone where if people are talking about your pastor and you show up there, they should stop talking because of your presence. Because they know your presence, you don't take that kind of thing around you. They should know where your heart is and where your loyalties lie. Amen? Yes. They should know where your heart is. Yeah, because people say a lot of things out there. It's very easy. You know, a pastor's life is lived in public. If half of the spotlight was put on you, you know how your life would be. You know, just half of the spotlight that is put on a pastor, it was put on your life. The scrutiny. Why is the pastor wearing that shoe? Why does he drive that car? See his children are looking all like, why are they wearing expensive things? His wife dressed with nice things every day. She's always blinging. Everything about a pastor's life is scrutinized. Yes. Yes. Scrutinized everywhere. You know, on social media, if a pastor does something bad, that thing will trend. But guess what? His sermons will never trend. His sermons will never trend. Very, very rare. You see, and if it trends, probably because he said something funny or something like that, or did something outrageously out of the box. But if it's something negative that happened. You know, recently I saw a news of one of the major pastors in Nigeria that during a service, someone was testifying and he pretty much stopped the person. And I saw the entire social media came up. But the same people that are stopping, the same people that say people come to church and lie for testimony. So if the man is being on guard, say, that thing you're saying, I don't think is totally true. Don't come out. Was he wrong? Yes, he was wrong. The pastor said he was wrong at the end of the day because he said the testimony was true, but he thought it was not true. Oh. However, for every one mistake that man does, there are 1,000 good things that he has done, and nobody talks about it. That is the life of a pastor. Yeah. So, love your pastors. Protect your pastor. Just like you want your pastor to protect and shield you. Pray for your pastor. Protect your pastor. Be loyal to your pastor. Amen? That is how we can build a successful church family. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 to 10. Very quickly. Let's move. Galatians 6 and verse 6 to 10. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. This is very strong. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. This scripture is used out of context. Most times you think it's about your enemy. No, it's not about someone doing something bad to you. It's about treating your pastor in a good way. Do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Verse 8. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the spirit will of the spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Verse 10. Therefore, see, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Love your pastor. Do good to him. Amen. Do good to him. Do good to his wife. Do good to his children. Amen. Find things you can do that will be a blessing to him. Hallelujah. Number three. I'm going to wrap up with this. Love for the church and its vision. Yeah. Love for the church and its vision. That's number three ingredients for a successful church family. Love for the church and its vision. Yeah. You know, some people say, I love Jesus. I love the kingdom. Kingdom. What is kingdom? What is kingdom? Kingdom is just a domain. A king and his domain. A kingdom is a particular spot or a particular real estate that God has given to somebody, whether spiritual or physical. Kingdom, domain. That's your domain. So your house is your kingdom. Do you know that? Yes, where you live, if you own a home, that's your kingdom. Yeah, that's your kingdom because that's your domain. Yeah, that's why if someone comes to your house that is not invited, you can say, hey, what are you doing in my house? This is my domain, you know. And if a thief mistakenly comes, you bring out your AK. Just kidding. But you should have one, though. It's good. It's good to be able to. People are surprised that I say you should have one. It's okay to have our pastor is the military. Yeah, pastor, there's nothing wrong with having a rifle as long as you use it rightly. Right. Having your own gun to protect yourself. Right. Yeah, anyway, that's for it. Separate. Pastor Peter said that he doesn't believe that God can protect him. All your big pastors that you see that move around with police, they don't believe. Don't they believe that God can protect them? Jesus was Jesus, but he had Peter. Peter was having a knife. Don't be. He chopped his neck. He chopped the guy's ear up. Listen, Jesus was not surprised that he had a knife. Okay, you don't put your trust in those things, but those things are tools that you can use to protect yourself. If something was to happen in a place, you'll be praying, Lord, let somebody have a gun that can stop that active shooter. Would you be praying so? Yeah. Amen. You will not pray that there's someone around you that has a gun. Yes. Oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't use it wrongly. Amen. Yes, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Love for the church and its vision. Yes. Pastor said, like, hey. Oh yes, vision 300. Now let's look at Psalm 84 very quickly. Psalm 84, we're going to read this. It's going to be a beautiful psalm to read. Psalm 84 as we wrap up this morning. It says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of our Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even our altars, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Love for the church and its vision. Blessed are those who dwell where? In your house, they will still be praising you. Do we want to build a successful church family?
Yes.
You have to love your church. You have to love being in the house. In the house. You know, I was looking at this scripture yesterday, and I was trying to see what's the Hebrew. Is there a Hebrew or Greek that I'm missing here? Is this saying your house? Is it a literal house he's talking about here? And yes. He talks about a literal house of God. He's talking about the house of God. He's not talking about your heart. Your heart is not a house. Amen? Oh, okay. Can I help you this morning? People say, oh, God dwells in your heart. But there is a place for the house of God. And those two things are not either or. They are both. You can't say, I just have a personal relationship with God. it's just me and the Lord. It's just this special relationship. I don't want to go anywhere because it's just me and the Lord.
God sees my heart.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. There is a place for the church and going to fellowship with one another in a physical location. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. One of the benefits of coming to church is that you go from strength to strength. As the word is going forth, strength is being released upon you. 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. See verse 10. Listen, before we go into this, many New Testament believers want the kind of relationship David had with Christ, but they don't want to use the same approach he had. David was a man who loved to go to church. Yes. He loved to go to church. How do I know that? For a day in your court. The court is not in your heart. The building is not in your heart. For a day in your court is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper. Listen, David is talking about a physical location. Meaning, I would rather be an usher. I would rather be a greeter in the church. In the house of my God. Than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Than stay in my house. Just cross my leg. Hey, I just want to be at home. I want online. Nothing wrong with that if you can't make it because of work. And there are certain kinds of jobs that schedule you on Sunday. But if it's just for convenience, because of now we have live stream, you don't show up to church. And then you want to be like David. Please stop deceiving yourself. You will never have that kind of relationship. You must love, if you're going to be like David, you must love to come to church. Yeah. For a day in your court is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. In the what? In the house. Yes. Is your house in your heart? Wait. Is your house in your heart? Say, okay, I bought a house. Say, where is it? It's in my heart. Why do we now take, when it's now scriptures, we try to, you know, God, he says, he will tabernacle with us. Yes, he will tabernacle with you, but there's also a place of going to the tabernacle. Yes. And if Living Word International Church is your church family, we have a physical tabernacle. We have a physical court where we meet. It's 2545 South Yale Avenue, Tulsa, Oklahoma, zip code 74114. We meet twice a week, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Midweek service, yes. I would rather be a doorkeeper. Wow. That's David. You want to be like David? You want to be like David? You want to be a man after God? Do you know how he became a man after God? Because he was always in a place of where God was, where the things of God was happening. That's how David became a man after God's own heart. He wasn't just saying it in his house. Some people are on their bed. They say, "Lord, I just love you." Sunday morning, nothing is happening to you. You're just, the only thing that's happening to you is that you are sleepy. That's the only thing. That is a 21st century problem. I'm sleepy. And I can't come to church. But I want to be like David though. Lord, the Lord sees my heart. My heart is for him. No, you will never have that kind of relationship with God. You have to treasure the dwelling, the courts of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Treasure the courts of the Lord. How lovely, verse 1. We wrap up here. Please, you may please stand to your feet. How lovely! Verse 1 of Psalm 84. Verse 1 chapter of Psalm 84. Thank you. Hallelujah. How lovely!
miracles, O Lord of hosts. And I'll end with this. As Living Word International Church, we make one commitment to you, which is to make your life count. We often say this to our visitors, but today, on behalf of our lead pastors, Pastor Blaise and Esther Tington, I want to reaffirm this commitment to you. Yes, you. We are committed to making your life count here at this church. This is why we exist as a church. Our doors are open because of you. Yes, you. We believe in God's plans and purposes for your life, and no matter what you're going through, remember that your life counts. So don't be a stranger. Come. Come. This is where we meet. This is our tabernacle. These are our courts. God dwells in your heart. Christ has come to your heart, but also he has a place for you to fellowship with the brethren. If you want to be like David, go to church. Love God in your heart and show up in church to worship among the brethren. Hallelujah. Anyone blessed this morning? A few announcements as we wrap up very, 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 very quickly. Dr. Renee's birthday was yesterday, and even better news, his wife gave birth 2 days ago. Baby and mother are doing well. Wow. The doctor, we celebrate with your family. It's an amazing addition to our church family, and we're so happy for what God is doing and expanding you. The RJ dynasty. The Renee dynasty is moving. The DR dynasty. Dr. DR dynasty. I like that. DR. Hallelujah. Expansion on every corner. Amen. God bless you. Very quickly, take an announcement. I'm probably going to go over time by 2 minutes. So just bear with me. All right. It's already noon. And we're going to wrap up here. On Wednesday, it's going to be our last push for our midweek campaign. Hallelujah. How many of you have been showing up for midweek services? Let me see your hands. All right. So this Wednesday will be our all-out service. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going all out. All out. Yes. So the aim of this service this week is to push to break the limits that we have on our midweek services where people don't show up and all of that. So you invite your friend and let them know to be part of this. Amen. It's very important. Service is at 7 p.m. All right. And so we are going what? All out. Don't forget, Friday, we start our conference with Prophet Tanyi Samuel. Amen. Don't miss that for anything. Okay. That's Friday, 7 p.m. We start our conference, the day of his power. And then on May 5th, Prophet Leslie will be in service with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right. We're going to go ahead and share the grace right now. Let me just pray a prayer of blessing for you. Hallelujah. Uh-oh, how can I forget this? Thank you, media team. These guys, they are on it. Yes, Sunday, next week Sunday, is our fundraiser service for our living worship. Yes. Yes. We are not a lazy church. There's movement everywhere. Yes. We're not lazy here. Yes. There are a lot of things happening for the Lord. Amen. Amen. So next week, Sunday, don't forget to come out. Bring your checkbook with you. Come enjoy good worship like you do every week. But it's going to be special next week as Living Worship prepares for their single. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Just raise up your hands and just thank the Lord this morning. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallowed be your name. We bless you, Lord. This is our year of divine expansion. I decree that as you go forth this week,
You will break forth on every side in the name of Jesus. God's favor will be upon your life in a tangible way. Doors that were once closed will be open to you in the name of Jesus. Oh yes. The fire of the Holy Ghost will continue to burn upon your altar. He will take you into deeper realms of fellowship this week in the name of Jesus. I decree that this week you will be favored and liked. Yes, you'll be favored and liked. You'll be liked by people in authority. People, decision makers will like you in the name of Jesus. No longer will you be looking from the outside in. You will have a place at the table this week in your career, in your business, in the name of Jesus. Go forth and shine, for this is a year of expansion. In Jesus' name we pray.